So excited to celebrate this Easter Sunday with you. And the thing I'm most excited about is that this is the day where we symbolically celebrate the most powerful time that has ever happened on the earth to this point. And I want you to know the next powerful time will be when the Lord returns. But I just want to share with you that today is the most important day in the history of humanity. Because this is the day where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, where he broke the back of anything the enemy could do to us. You know, the Bible says that the Lord took back the keys of the kingdom. He restored us to sonship, to relationship with God in such a way that now you and I can pray in the name of Jesus, and we have a direct relationship with God. Amen? Amen. And I thank God that he loves us so much that he made a way for us to be able to just receive him and celebrate him and have him love us. Amen? Woo! Praise God. So I want to thank you all for being here, and I need you to help me out because we ate a little bit in between the first and second service, but I'm sure some of you seen that there's a lots of stuff left out there. So after service, I need you to grab something so that I cannot be in trouble. Amen. Because I can't help that I'm kind of like Jesus in the fact that when he feeds people, he believes in having some left over. Amen. I thank God that when he multiplied the fishes and the bread, he didn't say, hey, listen, I want to give you an exact amount so there's none left. No, he was happy that there was bushels left over. Amen. So please partake in some of that leftover bushel so that I don't get in trouble for having provided so much today. Amen. And in the meantime, I want you to know something, that we want you to just worship God today. Just reverence him in the goodness of what he's done. Be thankful for where he's brought you to. But also, let's be thankful about the fact that God is going to do much more than he's already done. Amen? I want you to know our God has done mighty works in our life, but I also want you to know that the Lord is not done touching you yet. There's still more miracles he wants to do. There's more restoration he wants to do. There's more healing, blessing, fulfilling that God wants to do in your life. And I tell you what, as we worship him today, I'm telling you that the atmosphere is already open. You know, I want to remind you that we have the cross here and we already have our basket, which is being filled up, because today is a day where your biggest need or your biggest desire, your biggest hope for, whatever it is that you have in your spirit that you want God to handle today, we are bringing it up and we're putting it at the foot of the cross. Amen? Amen. And as we put it at the foot of the cross, I'm telling you that God is going to pour out his resurrection power to touch our lives. Amen? Amen. So I just want to worship with you this morning and just God bless you and welcome you to the celebration of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. How many came expecting this morning? Our King is alive.
Thank you. this empty tomb? Since when has my soul ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the phrase, make a dead man walk dead. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the phrase, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. We'll be right back. Drive on, yeah.
better than you. Oh, there's nothing, Lord. You of everything you know. In this dream, I was up here and I was trying to give a word. And I had trouble giving that word. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try to read it. And I had trouble reading that word. But the thing of it was, during this whole time, I had a rifle. And I'm like, okay, but God was just showing me. And I remember in that dream, God, what's going on here? Why couldn't I give that word? What is going on here? He said, Satan's trying to steal your mind. And that rifle that's in your hands, you pick it up and you start fighting. The rifle is God's word.
Amen.
And everything that he tells you, that's the weapon. So he's saying, stand up. Start using your weapon.
To the fullness.
Do you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Praise God. The Lord is powerful. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say welcome again to every one of you this morning. Praise God. We are glad that you are here with us as we worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is good, isn't he?
He's more than good.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
Not enough words in our mm-hmm. language that we understand that's good enough to Amen. Truly depict how
Praise
good God,
God
is.
Hallelujah.
You know, this is the time that we sit there and, you know, really reflect on what the cross has done in our lives and mm-hmm. what Jesus has done. And I think about you and I. Listen, living together, had a baby, not married.
What?
Stone cold sinners.
What?
That's what we were. I was the meanest person you would have ever came up across. I know you think I'm mean now, but you should see me back then. I'm really
mean.
Nice now.
You're always
you
nice,
You don't have
baby.
A reference, but I do. I'm telling you, I'm really nice now. But
You're
I'm telling
always
you.
Always nice.
Not, I used to not be. Neither did you. He always smiled, but he was wicked.
Woo.
I'm just being real with you.
Man.
Because everybody sees what it is now and thinks that it's some great thing. Oh, look what God has done. God can never do. That's the lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We used to be horrible people. There's none good. The Bible says there's not one good. Amen. What you see now is what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And some of them are saying, well, I got no hope then because, look, they're still bad. No, I'm serious. We're not. You don't have the point of reference, but I do.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I do. Amen.
Amen.
God has redeemed
yes,
our
he
lives
has.
Completely.
Amen.
Sitting in
Amen.
A field with a gun. Listen, I didn't Hallelujah. Want it to be dead. I didn't want to be here.
Yep. Amen.
I know what the spirit of suicide will do to you. I didn't know that's what it was at the time because I had mm-hmm. no clue about spiritual things at all. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't get saved till I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him. I knew about him.
Praise
People
God.
Had talked about him around me,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know him.
Amen.
He wasn't my Lord. He wasn't my Savior.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a difference between knowing who he is
Amen.
And having a relationship and knowing
Amen.
Who
Praise
he is.
God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Listen.
Amen.
I won't tell his story. He can tell his story. I'll tell you that I didn't like him.
Amen.
You think I'm Amen. Playing with you? We had this relationship where there'd be a moment that I would hate him.
Oh.
And he would love me. And he would beg me to stay. And there would be other times that he hated me.
Whoa.
And I loved him and I wanted him to stay. Like, it was the weirdest dysfunctional relationship you have ever seen in your life. You think I'm playing. I'm not playing, not one bit.
I got to tell you, it was so bad that the first time I said, honey, yeah, I can't help you. You need God. Instead
no,
of
he
it,
said you need Jesus.
Yeah.
And I thought, you hypocrite. You
exactly.
are the biggest devil in the world.
Jeez.
Who are you telling me about Ooh. Jesus? No, I'm serious. I told him that too.
Yeah.
I probably punched him when I said it.
Yeah, I was about to say, instead of making her say, well, maybe that's true. All it did was make her mad because she said, you big hypocrite, what in the world do mm-hmm. you know telling me about mm-hmm. Jesus?
Mm-hmm. If you were going to tell me about Jesus, you better live
Amen.
Like I thought maybe he lived,
Amen.
Like because I didn't know him.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had this big perception of what
that
should
be. But it's amazing because you didn't grow up in church.
Mm-mm.
You hadn't been around faith
Mm-mm.
a lot.
Mm-mm.
But even Mm-mm. then, you had an understanding of what you believed God was.
I did. Yeah, you mm-hmm. weren't supposed to lie. Like, God was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody that doesn't know who Jesus is knows that God is good.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And why would he want me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's what my thought process was.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he threw up Jesus, I about threw him down Ooh. On the ground and just like, you are not. You were not going there. I probably did hit you.
Yes.
Listen,
you,
I came from an abusive relationship before.
Because, yeah.
And so the first thing I would do when
hit.
We get in an argument is like, I'm getting that first one in because if I don't get any more, at least I got that one in. And so I'd hit him.
I
just hit him and run.
And I had to tell her one day, okay, stop.
The first time you said this.
I said, we got to have a conversation here. This is what
Listen,
we
kids,
do.
This is not funny.
We
argue, now, but it's
we
not funny.
Fight, we make up. We don't argue, fight, and hit anybody. I said, you don't need to
His experience fight wasn't my experience.
Exactly.
His experience wasn't you argue, you fight, and you make up.
you argue and you make up. That wasn't my experience. You argued, you raised your voice, you got hit, and you shut up because you just didn't want it to get it again. Mm. And I've always been very spunky, very... Mm.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that time frame I allowed it to happen, but let me tell you what, when it was over, it was over.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody was going to treat me that way again.
Amen.
And so when we came into that relationship, I'm telling you, it was horrible. We weren't perfect. We aren't perfect. I know y'all already know that. Be quiet.
Hey, watch it.
Child. I'm still your mama. You ain't married yet, so that means you still belong to me. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Praise God.
Listen, I'm just reveling in the goodness of God and where we're at now compared to where we were at. Amen. Where God
now,
has brought
us out
of.
Now, I got to tell you something. I was never, ever abusive or hitting her or anything. That was something that
there was one
she
night.
Just... carried that in. Oh, yeah. That
there
was
one night
long
you gave me a big black eye.
When I was still unsaved and drinking.
Listen,
but you're not supposed to tell that story.
We were not saved. Listen.
So, man.
People think that people truly think when they walk in and they see people who've been redeemed and who've been taken through the process and are in the process still going, that I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Listen. If you would meet us, you're good enough.
Amen.
You're good enough. The things that he's had to clean us up from, the things that he's had to deliver and heal us from, and the things that even still now, it's a process from glory to glory to glory. Amen? I'm not who I was, but I'm also still not who I'm going to be. Amen? We're still working. We're still working this thing. And I'm just sitting here, the fact that I'm alive, the fact that I'm sitting here alive. I pulled a gun to my head and pulled the trigger, and the bullet didn't come out. I pointed the gun forward, and the gun went off. Tell me I'm not here because Jesus had a divine plan for me to be
Amen.
Here.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
You're here because that same divine plan, yours is different than mine, but it's still in your life.
Amen.
Ready to be fulfilled. God is calling you and saying, you haven't done anything that I can't forgive you of. You haven't stepped far enough. There's not far enough. My hands don't reach. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to understand is how much he loves you. Mm-hmm. And we said it this morning. The cross was not easy for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was obedient.
Amen.
And he did those things that the Father told him to do. But the cross was not easy. He sat in a garden praying, seeking God, sweating blood, asking, let this cup pass from me.
Amen. Amen.
I've sat in the field with a gun to my head and I didn't bleed blood then, or sweat blood. And that was a pretty desperate situation I was
Praise
in.
Praise God.
And the feelings that I was going through, pretty dim. And I didn't sweat blood. But Jesus sweated blood.
Amen.
This was a hard decision. He knew what he was going to do because he always did what his Father asked him to do. He said, let this cup pass for me.
Amen.
But if not, let your will be done.
Amen.
And then when he gets up there, listen, I'd die for some people. Don't be playing like you're the same way. But you wouldn't die for other people. I wouldn't die for other people. Like there are some people I'm like, uh-uh.
Praise the Lord.
The bullet's coming? Okay. Listen, I'm not there yet. I'd die for all of you. Don't worry.
Amen.
I'd take the bullet.
Amen.
I really would. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that I
the
love.
The greater question is.
I don't quite
would,
like.
The greater question is, would you let your son die for them?
No.
Oh.
I'd die for you, but I wouldn't let my son die for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be real.
That's
everybody in here that has a child or a grandchild or a close niece or nephew, you understand what that is.
Amen.
But Jesus went for us all.
Praise God.
While he's on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
People are scorning him. People are mocking
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't open his word and defend himself, not one time.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're supposed to be the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Rise yourself. He doesn't call the legions of angels that he can call to get him off of that. You know that he, at any point during his process, could have called 10,000 legions of angels to get him off of that cross. Do you understand that? And the only reason they were able to take Jesus is because he laid his life down and said, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did he walk through crowds and they couldn't even touch him? Mm-hmm. You think that's by happenstance? No, they weren't allowed to touch him. Mm-hmm. He moved with such ease through crowds. We'd be running and they'd be grabbing us and they'd probably be touching us because some of us aren't as fast as other people are. But Jesus didn't have to worry about any of that. They weren't touching him until he laid his life down. So he gets up there and he lays his life down.
Amen.
They mock and scorn him. And the words that come out of his mouth, mm-hmm. forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
Listen, forgiveness is yours. Just like he brought us up out of the hot Amen. Messes we were. Yep. He'll do the same for you. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves you.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. If there's nothing you walk away with today other than that right there, listen, there was no way for us to have direct connection with the Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't. Sin separated us. Jesus came, ripped the veil. And now we have fellowship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We can talk to our Father directly. Nobody has to go for us. Nobody has to. The priest used to have to go in and have the bells on their things because if they weren't holy, they were falling over dead.
Amen.
And Jesus paid it
Praise
all.
Praise God. Yes, yes.
So that we could freely go before our Father anytime we wanted to before the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Know that he did it because he loves you.
Amen.
And you don't have to be enough.
Amen.
Because he was enough.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we didn't even do our couple little announcements here yet.
Well, what you got?
Hallelujah.
What you got?
Well, I want to just remind us that on May 27th, which is a Thursday evening, Evangelist Mark Dunphy will be here with us. And if you don't know him, you should be here. He's a very good man, and he's funny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. So he's a great
He watches
guy.
Sometimes, so yeah, I'm yeah, hoping yeah. he
hears it. Hallelujah. He Praise the Lord. But Brother Mark Dunphy will bless you and really have a word for your life. He will really minister to people, and he always has a current understanding of where we are as a church, and he ministers a great word to us,
Amen.
And he truly is an evangelist for this house,
yes.
And so we want you to be here for that. And then April 17th.
No. We've been in some of the hardest family, mm-hmm. like me-wise and stuff, some of the hardest times.
Situations, yeah.
And he's come in, and never fails.
Yeah.
Never mm-hmm. fails. He hits the nail on the head every single time. Tells mm-hmm. us what's going on. And we don't talk to him ahead of time. We don't do that to any guest speaker. We don't give them any information about where we're at, what's going on, what we've been preaching on, what we've been talking about. We don't give them anything because when we want them to come in, we want to hear a pure word from the Lord, not an influenced word by us.
Yeah, you guys need to know that. If I have a pastor or a minister or a prophet evangelist that's coming in here, they just know by now. But if I ever have to stop them, I stop them and say, hey, listen, we're not talking about individuals in the church before service.
Right.
Because I don't want any influence. When they come and speak to your life, even if they speak to you directly about something you've told me, I want you to know that they're hearing a download from God because I haven't put your business out there. In fact, I've had people
Amen.
Come up to me and say, hey, did you tell them about this or that? How in the world would I tell them about something specific about you before you even get here and then point you out so that they can say it to you? That's what I even told somebody. They went, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, even if I had talked to them about you, how would they know who you were, what your name was, and how to pull you out of a congregation of this many people? It's not happening. When they speak to you, they're hearing from God for your life. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just want you to be aware of that we purposely make sure that we don't, if I go to dinner with them the night before or if I spend time with them in my office before a service, we just don't talk about that kind of stuff because I want them to hear from God what they're bringing to us. Amen?
Amen. So we're excited about him coming.
Yeah.
The next member class is going to be April 17th from 9 to 12. So if you'd like to join that, please do. It's Amen. A good class that lets you know
yes.
about who we are, what we're about, and what, mm-hmm. what's important to us. Mm-hmm. And just gives you a bunch of information. Amen. Amen.
And we do have snacks there. Praise God. Woo!
Shall we say more than enough snacks there? Yes. He does that. He does that at home, too.
Amen.
I was excited the other day. You cooked yes. like enough chicken and broccoli and carrots yeah. over rice. And I went to the pan, and it wasn't full. That's unusual for him. Amen. He, like, makes food for an army every single time.
Amen.
Philip's not happy about that because he hasn't been able to come pick it out of the fridge and eat it.
See, that alone means that I need to upgrade my meal.
No, so he's that he fine. Can come he's and grown. Get he hasn't come seen me since we got back from North Carolina. He's fine.
Ooh,
he got
God.
Enough of us. He ain't lived with us for over 2 years. We went to North Carolina. We was together in a car all the way down there. He stayed in the same place we stayed at. So for 3 days, that boy was stuck with his mama.
Amen.
And he has not been to my house since we got back.
Amen. You were happy, but he wasn't, was he? Amen.
Amen. So he's coming over today because today's Easter.
Amen.
And so if I have to go drag him, you know, Amen. He ain't married yet. He's my God. Boy. Spare the Hallelujah. Rod, spoil the child. Got to show them. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just playing.
Praise
okay,
God.
So, and also teens, we want to make sure that you remember. It's kind of been pushed back because we've had guest speakers and stuff in here and special things going on the third Sunday. But this third Sunday of this month and every one thereafter, unless something special comes up that Philip will tell you about, there will be a teen class over there in
Amen.
The teen room. Amen. We're excited yep. about that.
Amen. Praise God.
You good
now? Okay,
you
yes,
this?
I think we're good now.
You got this?
Amen. Do you want to take your little walker? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Okay, I think at this time, I'm sure that those children have something special for Easter Sunday and all of their classes. Praise God. So I'm certain they want to run out of here and get headed that way. So we're going to let them do that. And then for us who remain, we are going to take up an offering before we go farther in the service. And I just want to remind you that giving to the Lord is something that the Lord has required even before the law in the Old Testament. I want you to know that it's not because God has need of anything. Praise God. But it's because you have need of having him involved in your life. And I just want to put this out there to you, that if you are not faithful in giving in the realms of finances and thing and having the Lord involved, I want you to know that even if you don't see it now, there are limitations that you are keeping from your family in different areas because of your choice. Oh, boy, I'm talking to you now. So I just want to remind you that in Matthew 2:11, it says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want you to know something. That when you are faithful in all the categories of God, faithful with your service to him, faithful in the arenas of giving, faithful in prayer, and all of those kinds of things, I want you to know that God is constantly working on your behalf to do things for you. I want to remind you that the Lord says, please come and prove me. In other words, God says, test me. Prove me. Take a chance on giving and let me be involved in your financial endeavors and in your life endeavors and see if I won't prove myself faithful to you. I'll open up the windows of heaven. I will pour you out blessing that you can't contain. And he also says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Listen, I want you to know something. By keeping yourself guarded from God, and by trusting yourself, whether it's in your finances, your relationship, or any part of your life, by trusting yourself and trying to do it yourself more than trusting God, I'm telling you that you are limiting and hindering the joy, the blessing, and the goodness that God wants to do on your behalf. Amen. And so this morning, I just want you, just like they did when Jesus didn't ask, but it was just in their understanding that a part of their worship was that they were going to give gifts to the Lord. Amen? And so I want you to know that the Bible says that when you're in the storehouse, when you're in God's house of worship, one thing we do is give so that, number one, there are always blessings in the house of God, but even more so, the blessing of God can touch your individual life. Amen? The Lord says, given it shall be given back to you. So today, by faith, if you are a consistent giver, I want you to do what you always do. You know, sometimes I forget about offering, don't I? And I can't get to the end of service, and when I forget about offering, the next thing I know, people will be waving their envelopes at me. Like, are you really going to steal our opportunity to worship God? Are you going to take away my opportunity to sow my seed or to give my tithe and invite God into my life? So I want you to understand that today I would challenge you that if you're afraid even, be afraid, but use your faith. Remember, there's a time in the Bible where the Lord says, I believe. A man says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And if you are afraid in the area of giving, trust God, use your faith, and let's just see what he will do for you. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray right now, God. And Father, the kingdom of God and the church has gone on for all of these centuries without fail, Father. Lord, statistically, only 10% of the church consistently gives, sometimes 20%. Father, I thank you that in this house it's so much more. But God, I'm just saying this so that people understand giving is not about your need. Giving isn't even about the need of the church because you will provide all of that. But giving is about your desire to have an opportunity to touch our lives, Father. When we sow into your kingdom, you can add the supernatural help of all of heaven and your love behind us to protect us, to bless us, God, to bring us through, Father, and so that people would know without fail that it is you that brings goodness to our lives. Now, Father, I just thank you that as people give today, Father, and as they sow seeds today, Father, that your hand of blessing is upon everything they do, God, with their faith towards you. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Boy, you're looking so good. I better come over here and stand by. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. You know, now this is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And I'm about ready to bring the word to you, but I just want to say a few things to you first. And the first thing I want to tell you is that I know by the Spirit of the Lord that God has already started a transformation. I want you to know something, that we have faithful people here today that have been in a long-term relationship with God, and they consistently love him, worship him, serve him. They're consistent in every area of their life. And I also want you to know that there are people here today that sometimes are. And I also want you to know that there are people here today that this may be the first time they've been in a church in a long time. Or maybe they've never been. There are people here today that may have been following God and fell away, but now they want to go after it again. And I want you to know something that the Lord was telling me as I prayed over this last week. He said, Philip, just remind the people that no matter where they are with me today, I want them to receive this resurrection day as a brand new beginning. I want them to receive this resurrection day as a time of refreshing, a time of being stirred, a time of remembering who I am as the God of their life. And I want you to know something, that if you're just rebooting today, or if you have been in a situation where the battle has been heavy and you have not been as consistent as you have been previously, I don't want you to be discouraged one bit. Woo! I want you to stand up. I want you to brush yourself off. I want you to be thankful for the resurrection of the Lord. And I want you to know that today is your day. Amen. Woo! Praise God. I want to remind you that today is the day that we worship our Lord and Savior. Today is a day that we come out and give reverence to the Lord for what he did on the cross. But I promise you that as I prayed over this last week, the Lord said, I want you to remind everybody that this is a day that we celebrate the resurrection. But what I want them to understand, that this is their day. This is a day that I made for them. This is the day that the work we did was a completion to bring them into a position where they could be free indeed, and that the devil would never have authority over their life. Woo! I want you to know something, that this is the Lord's day and we're celebrating his resurrection, but he also reminded me to remind you that this is your big reminder. Remember when we took communion in the first service, we said that the Lord said, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me and what I've done for you, that I am the bread of life and that my life was shed and my blood was shed that you could have life and eternal life. Amen. I want you to know that the Lord wants to remind you that he took away the sting of death, hell, and the grave. Amen? And I also just want to remind you today, sometimes I believe that over time, we can wear thin on the remembrance of the power of God. And I tell you what, that we're going to go back and read about the resurrection so we make no mistake of thinking that it was a small event. Or sometimes if we don't read the word, we don't really get the impact of what was really done. But we're going to look at that today. And before I go any further, I was going to wait and tell this to you later on, but I think that I'm moving part of my message to later, so I'm going to start here. Because I want you to understand something, that sometimes I like to give you some statistical facts just because we have so many logical thinkers out there in the world. And so today I want to tell you something that is not the best news. Because I want you as an individual to guard your heart and to guard your life and to understand that I can't depend on the government. I can't depend on the Constitution. I can't depend on the history of our nation as a Christian nation. And I certainly can't depend on my mother's faith. Oh, come on. Now, I thank God for my mom's faith. She stood in the gap for me for years, and I needed it. But I want you to know something. Amen, baby, amen. But I want you to know something. My mother's faith could not get me to heaven. Shane, my mother's faith can never stand before God and account for my sins. There's only one arena of faith that can stand before God, and that's my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior so that I am covered by the blood, transformed by the blood. And when I stand before my Father, he won't see me. He will see the work of Jesus, and I will be accepted. Amen? Woo! Praise the Lord. So I want each and every one of you to know that thank God for all those people that love us and pray for us, and thank God for what our mothers and grandfathers has done, and thank God for what our pastor does, and thank God for all the people that love us and what they do. But I'm here to tell you today that one day your knee will have to bow. One day your life will go before the Lord, and it's going to be accountable to you to understand what your relationship is. That's why I want to bring it up to you before I get into some of these things I'm going to discuss today, that there was a great man of God by the name of Joshua, and he saw God do so much for him and all the people around him, but he sat there and told them and said, listen, we cannot deny as God's people what we've seen, what he's brought us to, and how much he has helped us. He says, but I'm just going to stand before you today. And he was standing before them, not just as a leader. He was standing before them as a man, a husband, a father, a man who had to rule his household. And he said, listen to me. As far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm telling you that if you're single today, or if you're married in a marriage covenant, or if you are an individual child, and I don't care if you're in elementary school to high school or graduated on your own, it doesn't matter where you are today. It does matter that you as an individual says, as for me and my house, as for me and this temple that God lives in, as for me and my house and who I am, I'm going to serve the Lord. Woo! Listen, nobody can do it for you. And I don't care what your friends have to say. Love your friends, but don't let them rule you. Set your own standard. Praise God. You know, there was times where I was not living as close to God as I should have. Of course, especially as you heard my sweetie pie atone to that. But I can also tell you that throughout my life, from a little boy of 5 years old and beyond, I can tell you the number of times where I would have to look at people and say, nope, I don't go there. Nope, I'm not going to take those pills. Nope, I'm not going to do this. Nope, I'm not going to go there and steal with you. Why? Because thank God there was threads of God's goodness that would keep me. And I want you to know that all of us throughout our lives, we're going to have to get better and better at saying, no, this is going to be a priority, even if it doesn't feel good because God told me to. Amen? I want you to know something, that we're going to have to do this and take a stand. Why? Because it used to be years ago that it was just understood in this nation that God was a part of who we were. I want you to know that it used to be that in communities years ago, and I'm talking about when this nation was first founded, guess what? They went to church on Sundays, and then school was held in church through the week. I want you to know that years ago, it used to be that the Bible was a part of kids' everyday learning at school. Man, I don't want to age myself too much, but I want you to know that when I went to school, guess what? There was two things we did every morning. The Pledge of Allegiance, and then we prayed. We prayed blessing over our school. We prayed blessing over our community. We prayed over, what did you do? Did you go to Christian school? Yeah, I went to public school. Public school used to be so faith-based. You can look this up, that until 1968, guess what? It was required that you taught out of the Bible. Come on, you didn't know that, did you? Oh, buddy. See, there are some things that we need to return to, and there are some things that you need to understand about your faith, because I want you to know that they first started doing statistical studies and polls back in the 1930s. And by 1930, 738, somewhere in there, they had discovered that at that time, somewhere between 73 to 78% of all Americans not only believed in God, but went to a place of worship. They were actually a part of a church. I want you to know that for the first time ever, the year of 2020, the year of the pandemic, the year of the time for a moment, they tried to tell us church wasn't essential. Now, they won't tell you this publicly, but part of the reason why they allowed people to come back to church is because they started understanding, wow, we need it. But I want you to know that sadly, for the first time in our history, I want you to know right up till 2000, at the end of 1999, something like that, I want you to know that it was still 70% of the nation went to church. But in the last 20-something years, until last year, it was just reported for the first time ever, we fell below 50% in church attendance. Of not just church attendance, but people saying that they not only believe in God, but they go to church as a part of their routine. Boy, that's kind of sad, isn't it? But it's also why Jesus himself said, I see the harvest and the fields are great. Pray you, therefore, that laborers enter in. And so what I want to challenge you today is that instead of being discouraged by statistics, it might just be that we as the people of God that know the truth need to remember that the greatest way that darkness is overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of our testimony. And I want you to know that it's about time for some of us who are living in the closet about our faith to come out boldly and declare that I am who I am because I'm a Christian. Amen. I want you to know, I don't want people to think that I just have a genuinely nice personality. I don't want people to think that I'm just a nice guy, because if I were allowed to just let that persist, I want you to know that I myself would be found a liar. Because I want you to know something. I'm not a nice guy just because I'm inherently nice. I'm not a joyful guy just because I'm inherently joyful. I am who I am because the Lord himself has transformed me from where I used to be to who I am today. Amen? And I want you to know something, that is the power of the resurrection and the power of what God has done for us. And before I get to my main scripture, I got to show you something here in the Word of God that I try to remind us about from time to time. And this scripture is in the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know something, that sometimes we can look at moments in the Bible and we act as though they costed God nothing. But I want you to know that this word says God commanded his love towards us. In other words, I want you to know that it wasn't like God was sitting there in heaven saying, oh, the cross is easy for my son to do, and it's just something that has to happen. No, no, no. I want you to know that God was focused on this moment before he even created us, because I want you to know that in order for God to bring us love and mercy instead of judgment, he had to command his love towards us. It means that he made a determined decision to say that you are valuable enough and you are important enough for him, that instead of giving us what we deserve, he chose to take all the pain and suffering upon himself to make sure that we could have life. You know, I thank God that he says that when we were yet without strength. Do you know that the main reason God wants you to get saved is that until you walk out of a life of darkness where Jesus is not Lord and Savior of your life, you do not have the strength or the fullness of the power that should be in you to live and be who you are. Come on. Praise God. And I just want to share with you from the Word of God just the power and the goodness of God of what it took and what happened even on that day of the resurrection of Jesus. I want you to know that the Lord did die, and I want you to know that it wasn't a fake death. This wasn't movie time, people. No, I want you to know that the Lord was bruised and hurt. He bled. He had a sword stuck in his side. He was nailed to a cross. I tell you, the other day, I remember just, you know, I tapped my finger lightly. I was working on something. And I just lightly tapped my finger with the hammer there because, you know, I ain't hitting nothing too hard. You know, I'm just tapping it. And boom, and I went, ow! And immediately in that moment, I just was reminded by God, can you imagine if that hurts your finger? Can you imagine if you just took that nail and just hit it, not just once, but and not a thin nail, not just some little pointed nail, but a big, thick, and just hit it over and over and over. Not just in one hand, but the other hand. Not just in one foot, but in both feet. How in the world did Jesus refrain from saying, okay, God, this is too much. This is too far. I'm dying for these people that are killing me, laughing at me, mocking me, putting a crown on my head. You should look up and study about those trees that they took the thorns from, because you would find out that they had the ability to grow up to 13 inches. So the crown on his head of thorns wasn't just some little tip of something that you could poke your finger on. But I want you to know that pain upon pain, moment upon moment, Jesus endured because of God's love for you. Amen? Woo! Now, I want to just bring you up to speed on the resurrection and the day after and the power of what it was like on that day, because I just want to read you through the story of the day that Jesus resurrected. And it says in Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And these are Marys that were touched by the power of God. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Wow. Can you imagine that? An earthquake when Jesus came out of the grave in the power of his resurrection. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I want you to know something, that this was so profound that the toughest of the Roman soldiers, it would be like us sending out the Green Beret. It would be like us sending out the Rangers or the special forces of our military. It was those caliber of people that was there. But in the moment that the angel showed up, fear overtook them so much that they fell down as though they were dead. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed up unto the chief priests. That means some of the soldiers that were looking after Jesus came and all the things that were and told them all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And I want you to know something, that it says that the reason they did this was because they said, for if it is discovered that he did raise from the grave, like he said. In fact, these soldiers were instructed to be there because they knew after he died and the power of what went on, they themselves started believing that he was going to be raised. So much so that they said, let's put these soldiers around there, because I'm telling you that we're afraid that if his disciples come or he does raise, that it is going to be worse than what we did by putting him to the cross. And the truth is, it was way worse, right? Because they had no idea that they were a part of establishing Jesus Christ forever. Amen? And I want you to know that the Lord's power was so extravagantly put out during this time that it is just overwhelming what was done. I want you today to know that today I'm not going to, but I could go to the scripture where it says that all of a sudden, all the people who had died before Christ went to the grave, like King David and Moses and all of those people that died before, Rahab and all of them, raised up and came out and declared the goodness of God before they went on to heaven. Amen? I want to just share this with you because one of my favorite scriptures here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to just read to you something that's important for who we are today and what God wants for us today. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And I want you to know that that word, the love of Christ constraineth us, it's pertaining to his love where he went to the cross and was resurrected. And that word there means this, to hold together. To be put together by. See, I want you to know that it's the love of Christ when we receive him as Lord and Savior, that's what puts us together. That's what establishes us as who we are. That's what will stop your fears. That's what will bring your life into order. That's what will bring peace. That's what will stop the torment. That's what will stop you from just having moments of goodness or seasons of goodness to having consistent goodness in your life all the time. See, I want you to know something, that sometimes people go through seasons of life being okay, but it will always come back to a point of being difficult unless the resurrection of the Lord has come into your life through salvation in your own heart and you are made new. This is what the Bible says. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. In other words, that once Jesus died for all of us, there is no time that it's acceptable for us to live in our own strength. And we're not supposed to live with our own motives and our own thoughts of what we think life is and what we think we should be doing in life. What we need to do is make sure that we're allowing the Lord to direct us and show us what we need in our life. It says that henceforth we don't live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. See, I want you to know something, that we put this basket at the foot of the cross today, because if you did not do it before time, I, even after the service or here when we get done praying, I want you to bring whatever it is you're believing God for. And I don't care how big your list is or how short your list is, but I want you to bring it and put it at the foot of the cross. Why? Because the Lord said that the very reason he was resurrected today is that we would no longer know him or ourselves just as a person without God's help. I want you to know that today is a day where God would love for you to accept the fullness of being a new creature. I want you to know something, that I thank God today that he has renewed my mind to the point where I look back and there are things that I used to believe about life, that before I knew the Lord, they were my truth. Before I knew the Lord, I lived in them. But I thank God that now being saved, I know that those things were never true and they were never for me. And I want you to know something, that the Lord wants to lift things off of you today and make you understand that if you allow Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, you get the right to become a brand new creature. It doesn't mean that you will change outwardly, except for people will see a brightness in your eye. People will see your countenance change. I remember that when Miss Regina first got saved, and I want you to know she was pressing in more than me. And she went to a women's conference. And she came back, and her eyes were just so filled with life from what she used to look like. And I said, what happened to you? And buddy, she just began to tell me all the things that happened. And it made me start pursuing God even more. And I want you to know something, that people are going to see a refreshness on you. People are going to see the joy of the Lord on you. People are going to see what the Lord declares here that establishes you as a new creature. Because I want you to know something, that when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and when we accept the resurrection from the cross, and when we just say, I believe in my heart that he is the Son of God that went to the cross for me, and now I'm going to live for him, I want you to know something, that you become a brand new creature. The Bible says old things are passed away, and that's what we're believing, God, that the things of our yesterday are leaving us. And we are stepping in to the blessing of God. Well, Pastor Phil, you don't know what I've done. And I don't want to say this harshly, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't care what you've done. No, you don't understand how. I don't care. Not because I'm not concerned about what you've been through or your choices or how difficult life has been up until now. That's not why I don't care. I don't care, because it does not matter what you've been through or what you've established. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and broke the power of death and came back to life, it was to give you the hope and the understanding that no matter what you do in life, you can't stop the love of God from chasing you down. You can't stop His commanded blessing from coming on your life. It's just a matter of, will you accept it and receive it? Will you sell out? Will you say, God, I give up my way of doing things and I humble myself today? You know, the Bible says that if you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus, you have to pick up your cross. And you have to live your life every day for the Lord. And I want you to know that sometimes it might cost you relationships. It might cost you people laughing at you. It might cost you people saying you're nuts and you're crazy. But I want you to know something. Your mind will never be clearer. You'll never be more stable and more normal than when you are saved by the power of God. It might look like foolishness to the world, but I promise you that you will be established for the first time the way God intended you to be. Amen? You know, it's amazing because it's so clear in the Word. Sometimes if we're not careful, the Bible says that, you know, there's mysteries. Our God works in mysterious ways. He does. That means that He might not work the same way in your life as He does in this person's life. But His outcomes are not mysterious. Whether Jesus spit in the eye with dirt, whether He laid hands on the eye, or whether He spoke to the eye, guess what? The eyes that were blind were open. Amen? And I want you to know something. Whether you come up front in a church service, whether you do it at watching a TV service about getting saved, whether you do it because someone witnesses to you, one-on-one, it doesn't matter where. It just matters that you open your heart up to Jesus and you will be supernaturally transformed. Amen? I want you to know something that God is telling you today, that old things are passed away. Yeah, but I did. No, no, no. You're the only one holding on to it. You're the only one holding on to it. I want to just read this to you, and then I'm just going to talk to you about the fact that Jesus had power in His life for us all the time, and I just want to share one or two more things with you. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, it says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." What is the will of God for my life? The first thing the Bible says is that it is the will of God for every person on the earth to be saved. Because I tell you what, that we see more darkness in the world today because there are less people giving their life to the Lord. Oh, come on. I want you to know that many things, well, all bad, evil things, would not be endured if men and women would give their heart to the Lord. I want you to know that sometimes people try to blame the negative things that go on the earth on God, and I want you to know something. No way, you can't blame it on God, because it's actually the lack of people allowing God into their life. It says this, "Because He hath appointed a day in thee which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead." I want you to know something. Jesus is your assurance of what God's love is for you and what he desires for you. You know, in the last week or two, I was reminded of a couple movies that they had made about miracles and about God doing some things. And I think one of them was called something about, Is Heaven Real? And the one thing I liked about it was a story of a four-year-old baby that had a major accident. And he, during this accident, when he was in the hospital, he said, man, I left my body and I went to heaven. And he was saying that he knew he was going to be okay. But even for his parents, I mean, it was a hard thing for them to really grab a hold of and grab a hold of. But I'm just going to share you something that even the mom who was really dealing with it, remember there was a time where Mary was watching over Jesus and she knew what his call was, but she said that she looked over what he said to her and kept it in her heart because he was telling her, Mom, I got to be about my father's business. But the one thing that overtook this mother about her child going to heaven is that he said, Mom, when I was there, I met a girl that kept hugging me. And this baby's 4 years old now. I mean, in real life, he's 4 years old. He says, and this girl kept hugging me and hugging me and hugging me. He said, and finally, I understood that this girl let me know, Mom, that she was in your belly. But she never came out because she died before she was born. And even though the mom was trying to get her arms around this, you know how we are as parents. She kept driving questions into her son. And she said, well, what was the baby's name? And she said, well, Mom, she didn't have a name because she said that you and Dad didn't name her. See, I want you to know something. You are more connected to heaven on this earth than you think you are. Now, that story can't take away the pain of the loss that mom felt. But boy, I tell you what, it restored her hope and understanding about what she already has waiting for her in heaven. Amen? I want you to know something, that my mama passed away 2013. And I miss her. But I also tell you that my joy is full knowing that my mama is waiting for me in heaven. Amen? And if my brothers and sisters thought that I was the youngest and spoiled down here on the earth, I can't wait till we get up there so they can get an understanding of how spoiled I am in heaven. Amen? I want you to know that there was another story about a miracle where a lady had a baby that fell out of a tree, had some crazy disease or something. And that child fell out of a tree. You would think that if that baby already had a very harsh health problem, that that would be the end of that child. But in that story, that baby went to heaven and said that, hey, while I was in that tree, at the bottom of the tree, and they were trying to rescue me, she said, I went to heaven, she says, and it wasn't like God and I had a conversation. She said, but I could just, it was like we just knew what each other was saying. And I told him, God, I don't want to go back. And God told me I had to go back. And the girl said, God, I don't want to go back if I'm still going to be sick. And he says, well, you're going back because you're going to be whole. And so this morning, I want to just challenge you to understand this. The power of God is available for every one of us. Bring what you have in your heart to the Lord. I want you to know that one time in the Bible, there's a lady who was believing God to have a child, and she had been barren. And she never did say it out loud. She just came to the temple and prayed in her heart. So much so that the priest saw her moving her lips and he thought she might have been drunk or doing something crazy. And she said, no, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just letting my heart be known to God. And though she never spoke a word outwardly, guess what? In the Bible, she had that child. And so I'm just telling you this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, that I'm going to give everybody a chance. If there's anybody else who wrote something down that they want to bring to the foot of the cross and they haven't done it yet, I just want you to do that right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to just walk up here if you have something written down that you haven't already put in there. And then we're going to pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, one other thing I'm going to do is before we pray over these prayer requests and these things that you have given to the Lord and these things that you're laying at the feet of the Lord and believing him to either remove or to give you the miracle and bring the things to pass that you need done, before we do that, I want everyone in here to kind of close your eyes and bow your head just for a minute before I pray. Because there's one thing I have to do, and that is that today is a day that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but we're also celebrating the opportunity for each one of us to become who God wants us to be. Amen? So if this morning you're here, and right now you are not saved, and you have not been serving the Lord, and he is not the Lord and Savior of your heart, or maybe you did serve him at one time, but you haven't been as of recently, and you want to return to God, and you just want to make a commitment today to be saved and to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right now, please just lift your hand. If that's you today, I see that hand, you can put that hand down. I see that hand, you can put that hand down. Is there anybody else this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Well, sometimes I make people come up front here, and I'll be up here to pray with you after the service. But today, I think we're just going to pray right where you are. And everyone in here that wants to pray with me, I ask you to pray with me and support those that are giving their life to the Lord today. Say this, say, Father, I come to you right now. And in Jesus' name, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross for me. That you paid every price that could be paid for my life. And now I can live in your freedom and in your goodness. I receive salvation now. And I ask your help to live from this day forward the way you would lead me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even if someone comes up here after this service, God, and puts something in this basket, Father, it's covered by this prayer. Lord, I thank you for everybody who by faith has given you needs, has shared you what's in their heart, has put forth something. God, the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. But God, they have released their faith at the foot of the cross to see your resurrection power in their life, Father. Lord, I thank you that all things become new. I thank you that old things are passed away. Father, I thank you right now that God, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, God, things are healed. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that healing is coming upon us, Father. That, Lord, in the place of relationships and finances, your blessing is coming upon us, Father. Lord, in regards to our health and the things that we need, both physically and even mentally, God, right now, restoration and deliverance is coming, Father. Lord, I thank you that an infusion of your spirit is falling upon each and every one of us, God. That, Father, you are strengthening, you are blessing, you are bringing forth, God. You're doing that which only you can do, Father. And right now, Father, I thank you that whether it be sickness and disease, whether it be emotional things, Father, whether it be depression or fear or anything, God, I thank you that those things are broken right now. And Father, I thank you that homes are flourishing. Father, I thank you that relationships are flourishing. God, I thank you that lives are flourishing and your blessing has come upon your people, Father. And Lord, as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, Father, you are pouring out of your spirit upon all of us, God, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. No online stuff today. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say God bless you to each and every one of you. I want you to know that I will be here to pray with you after service today. And I just want to thank you for being here. And also remember, as I ask you, please make sure that if you haven't gotten yourself something to snack on, get something to snack on. Amen. And then I want you to go forward and I want you to have a super blessed finish to your Easter Sunday today. I hope that you get to eat and fellowship together and that you have great plans. And we love you and God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.